I just stepped into the light and Jason was right behind me. Next thing you know, I'm on one side of the property. Jason's way on the other side of the property, and it's an hour and a half later.
Orville and Cheryl Murphy are the owners of a wonderful crystal mine in Mena, Arkansas, Board Camp Crystal Mine. I've been there. It's a beautiful space. The thing that is amazing about it is paranormal activity. People have experiences, you know, some, it's different for everybody. Orville and Cheryl are going to talk about something that's been happening recently that's mind-blowing. Who wants to start, Cheryl or Orville? Give us a backstory.
Well, yeah, thank you. Just to back up, we acquired the property around 2009, found quartz crystals, which are pretty much all over the Ouachita Mountain area in west central Arkansas. And we found crystals and decided to check it out with the state. It was suggested maybe we could open like a little public digging site. And we're like all excited, like, yeah, this will be a great little part-time business in our retirement years. Haha. So anyway, we developed the mine. That was 2012 when we opened to the public. So the first 5 years went by, and I always say, you know, life was what we call normal the first 5 years. Then suddenly in 2017, we're out looking kind of at the stars at night, and on our property appeared these three huge beams of white light that appeared to shoot up into the sky, probably 300 feet in the air. We were awestruck, like, what the heck? And, I mean, we're out in the middle of nowhere, practically, you know, in rural Arkansas. And the beams lasted about 8 to 10 seconds, and everything went black. We were amazed, like, what the heck could cause beams like that? And prior to this, we never really had any paranormal experiences in our life. You know, that was all on TV for us. So now we have something unexplained for the first time. So we called a friend who said, you guys had a sighting. You need to call MUFON. Well, that was still like a little foreign to us. But anyway, we got a hold of MUFON, and they came out and did an investigation. And they brought Gauss meters, which measures electromagnetism, and they were getting extremely high readings on the Gauss meters. And they're all excited. And this is primarily in the area of the property where we saw the beams, okay? So they're all excited, MUFON is, because they don't often get physical evidence of an anomaly. And then that led into the Travel Channel, Josh Gates' Expedition Unknown. They heard about our case, and they came out and filmed. Since then, I can't believe 7 years has gone by. The activity, the paranormal activity has increased. We are amazed, really. I have to say, I mean, we have, you know, we see other lights, beams, orbs. We've had Sasquatch activity. And, you know, as the years have gone by, we're learning more about this. We're having more activity, and our minds are absolutely blown. But I always tell people, well, we developed our tours so that the public could also come and have experiences. And I have to say, you know, we've been startled by some of these experiences, but we've never been threatened or felt threatened. And it's all unknown. It's all a curiosity. And here we are today, and we keep having experiences. And thank you, Wendy, for inviting us to share that today.
The important thing, though, is that it's open to the public, which is very unusual. There are rare places where people can go, and it doesn't mean you'll actually have a bona fide experience, but it means there's a possibility that you weren't. In other words, and I guess I should say no guarantees, but it can happen.
Right. And at this point, after 7 years of having what we call our unexplained tours, we really have had hundreds of people at this point that have had experiences. Not everybody, of course, but I would say more than 50% have, okay, which is amazing. And people can go check us out on our website, boardcampcrystalmine.com, and read more about it. And if you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you come visit. We love meeting people, and especially people who have that curiosity, or maybe they've had sightings or experiences too, you know, and we're all trying to figure it out. And I think the more we get together and share our stories, you know, maybe eventually we'll keep learning.
Well, Orville, you are on site, out and about, researching, exploring, and you are incredibly brave. I mean, there's something, maybe it's even curious, because when something happens, you want to go immediately and check it out. This latest experience was maybe a game changer.
Yeah, on December 7th, we had a friend over here, Jason Head, and this used to be Native sacred ground. We did not know that when we purchased it. When the Natives told us, of course, we just told them it still is Native sacred ground and you can come out and use it as often as you need. The Natives asked us if we would start a cedar fire, play some flute music on December 7th, a certain day and time, and because they wanted people to, you know, remote meditate and everything. So I guess there was 2,000 people or so meditating, and we're just trying to do like we're told. So we, Jason and I got the fire started, and we were sitting there, and all of a sudden, the top of the hill just lit up with a, like a tunnel beam of light, and it just barely cleared the trees, and we ran up there. I just stepped into the light, and Jason was right behind me. Next thing you know, I'm on one side of the property. Jason's way on the other side of the property, and it's an hour and a half later.
That's
amazing.
We
had no idea how we ended up there.
That's amazing. The fact that the two of you had that experience, you both have memories of what happened?
I have basic memories, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We had a guy come in who asked us if he could do, if I'm pronouncing it properly, that the hypno regression hypnotism thing. He recorded us when he was doing that. And, you know, we were like under hypnosis for like an hour separately. I listened to the audio of the recording of the hypnotism thing, but I didn't understand anything that I was saying. And the cool part is we have really good security cameras. So the light, the beam of light, it caught everything on camera.
What did you see?
When I went into the light, I saw what I called fluorescent spaghetti. I know it sounds really silly, but that was what I was calling it. It was all over the ground. I could see people there. It was daytime where I was standing, but if I looked straight up, it was pitch black dark. You could see stars, but there were no trees. I was outside, like a big open field, daytime.
So a different dimension?
Well, I don't know what dimensions look like, so I can't say yes.
Yeah.
But I know one thing. I wasn't here, and neither was Jason. And if you listen to Jason's story, he felt like he was in a maze, and he said he had a forest creature, a Squatch, kind of walking him around behind him, kind of herding him and kind of helped him out of the maze. When I was in the light, I heard a voice that said, "You're not supposed to be here." And I remember, you know, I remember that part in the hypnotism thing. They said, I heard a voice that said, "Mark him." So I felt something touch my wrist. But then, you know, everything was over and I'm, you know, hundreds of feet, almost 1,000 feet away from where it started. And the people who came to do the investigation used a black light and put it on the back of my hand, which we have pictures of. And there was a big white dot on the back of my hand that you can only see under the black light.
Did you feel any different?
We felt really, really thirsty. I drank 2 bottles of, you know, water, and Jason drank 4. And you kind of felt like when we made it back to the stage, this is an hour and a half later, but when we finally get back, I got back first, and then Jason showed up about 20 minutes behind me. I wasn't like delirious, but kind of unsure of everything.
May I add something real quick right here?
Yeah, go ahead.
When Orville got back from where he ended up out on the property, and we have a stage, and that's actually, we had concerts there. But anyway, it's built on our property, and that's where we actually now have our tours, conduct our unexplained tours. But anyway, when Orville got back, he called me because I was actually visiting family in California. I wasn't home. He calls me, and he tries to tell me what happened. And my first impression was, you're drinking. You're slurring your words. Orville, have you been drinking? And he goes, no, I swear to God. And I will testify, Orville, I've seen him get that drunk maybe two or three times in our 30 years of marriage, but he is not that type of person, okay?
Yeah.
He'll have a couple of drinks, but he's never gotten that way, you know, maybe two or three times. And he was slurring his words, and that was my first impression. Like, are you drinking? He's like, no, and he's trying to explain what happened. And I was, like, mystified, like, what the heck? And then I think it was when Jason got back, he texted me a picture of that light shooting up into the trees, which I think I shared with you, Wendy.
Yeah.
And then also, like Orville said, you know, he, under the black light, you could see this dot on his left hand. And it's like, what the heck? You know, the dot, by the way, did disappear within a few days. We, you know, kept testing it daily. And I don't know, I think maybe 3 days later, it was totally gone. So as far as, you know, his demeanor when he got back, walked back from the experience, you know, like I said, I just needed to share that because I thought it was very interesting. And then he did tell me how thirsty he was. And then Jason showed up. And Orville didn't know where Jason was. When he called me, he told me that. He goes, I'm worried about Jason. I can't find him. And then finally Jason walked up, and Jason, too, was thirsty. So anyway, I'll hand this back over to you. I just thought I'd interject that information.
The cool thing is, not only did we get it on the security camera, we got it on two security cameras from two different angles.
Yeah.
What all showed up on this? Did it show you walking into this area, this white light?
The light was behind a few big trees, and we went up the hill. We were carrying lanterns and electric, and I remember stopping and turning on my video on my phone just before I went into the light, and I'm holding my phone in front of me as I went into the light, but when I looked at my phone, there was nothing there. It didn't. My phone just shut off and there was no recording. Same thing happened to Jason's phone.
I can imagine the electric, whatever it is, a shift there. What individuals, entities, beings, can you describe what you saw?
To me, the people that were there, they looked totally human, except they were tall.
How tall?
Taller than me.
Well, okay, Orville.
So maybe 6.5, 7 feet.
Okay. Then they were Caucasian. They were what?
I couldn't tell. Your mind is doing all kinds of weird stuff, trying to comprehend what you're seeing. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. You're trying to figure out where the heck you are. And not only that, though, you said that it was dark. You could see stars, but dark as in time of day.
It was nighttime if I looked up, and daytime if I looked down.
Unusual. And then they told you shouldn't be there.
Right.
Did they send you back immediately, or was that just like an observation and while you looked around?
I think I was there a lot longer than I thought, but when somebody said the word mark him and I felt something touch my wrist, that's when I pulled my arm back, and that's when I was out in the road.
Okay.
You know, like 1,000 feet away. So, I think maybe me panicking, pulling my arm back is what shut everything off or whatever. I don't know.
Did Jason have any kind of a mark?
No, we checked. Jason had no marks. The funny thing is I went one place and he went to a different place. What he described was not even close to where I was at. According to him, it was kind of like a maze. He said, I couldn't find my way out, and I kept bumping into the things where I didn't know which way to turn, didn't know what to do. And when we talked to the natives, they said that they would come out here and do ceremonies because they could connect with the star people and the forest people. So, which is what they call, what we call aliens and Sasquatches.
Yeah.
So,
well, so you got to see that.
I'm pretty sure I did. But the thing is, it's like, imagine a dream you had when you was a kid. Try to remember it now. You get bits and pieces, but
Has it changed your dreams since then? Have you had anything that you remember unusual?
Every once in a while, I'll get a scent, a smell, and it'll kind of trigger something. I'll start to remember something, and then I can't, and then I'm trying to focus on it, and what was that, and try to go back, and, you know, so sometimes things just pop in and out, and scents seem to, you know, the smell seems to trigger it more than anything else.
What would you do if that happens again, the light, if you see that, will you go again?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No problem there. And a matter of fact, I wouldn't jerk my arm back this time because wherever I was, I just felt so much peace, contentment. I mean, it's like you're supposed to be there. Like everything is correct. Everything's just the right color, the right temperature, the right sound. You know, there's nothing there that is disorganized.
And Jason's memories, do you think he would go back the same thing?
Oh, I believe he would, yeah.
And this happened during this group meditation or group ceremony?
They said that they had people meditating as far as Africa and all the way to the West Coast.
Will this happen again this year?
I hope so.
Okay. So is it like an annual event?
No. They just, a bunch of the spiritual leaders just got together and were meditating, and they asked us if we would go out and arrange this. So I said, sure, okay, I'll do it. So I called Jason up, and he came out with me, and they sent me a link to a YouTube channel of Native American flute music and drums. And so I'm on the stage, I turned that on, and the TV's on rollers on the stand. So I brought that out on the stage and faced it towards the hill and turned it on. And when we got back to the stage, the TV was off.
The music that you played, is that available for just for general meditation purposes?
Right, that's all it was, yeah.
Well, that would be curious. What did they say about your experience?
Look, to them, you know, to the natives, they're like, yeah, so? Because everything to them is normal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're getting all, wow, and they're like, no, this is the way things are. These are the way it's supposed to be when you meditate and you know. It's like I think they have a way deeper understanding than I do.
Okay, so you also, the Cheryl and Orville, you do still the tours and the activities and the events. Have you noticed any increase in some of the paranormal elements or Sasquatch appearances or interactions since that has started? You said 7 years.
I think that it's all pretty much running the same, but I think there's like, what would you call it? Like a wave. It kind of, you feel the energy build up and then it'll go down a little bit and it'll come back up and go down. I think when we're doing the tours, it's all dependent on who is here for the tour. I don't think it has a lot to do with the property or with the people, but it has to have a lot to do with how the people interact with the property.
And energy.
Right, that's what, the property, the energy.
Right.
So we've had tours where we had a glow ball, and there was like 7 people on the stage, and the glow ball just jumped off the ground. And then we saw the glow ball getting kicked right in 50 feet in front of the stage, and it was getting kicked back and forth 20, 25 feet, and somebody out of the group, everybody else is cheering, but one person in the group just said, oh, this got to be a trick. Oh, this is got, and all of a sudden, the ball stopped, and we had no more activity the rest of the night. I think that one negative person messed it up.
And that's interesting. Ingo Swann, one of the things he said is that you do have to have the right attitude, and somebody who is a skeptic can take the energy out of it, just drain it, and you won't have the same response. So that's real. That's something that, you know, that people who are psychic or do paranormal research have noticed, that it does take that energy. It drops it.
Yes, I have read about that too in other testimonies.
And I'm the new guy. I don't know anything about this stuff, you know? You know, it's like all of a sudden grabbing me and trying to make me the manager at the Walmart. I'm going to mess up the Walmart. That's not my job.
You're
not proper training.
Yeah, but the same thing is, you don't try to control it. You're curious and you're saying, okay, what's going to happen? Instead of, okay, this will happen and I'm going to make it happen. You don't have that energy.
Right.
There you go. Yep. There's no way we can, to be honest. You know, we want to be honest and forthright with this experience. I actually have what I call a very kind compliment from somebody who came and they said, you know, we were looking around, we were trying to find out, how are you tricking people? And we did not find any clues. You guys, this is a real experience. And they said, you should get an Academy Award if you're actually tricking people and you've got hidden stuff going on. And I'm like, well, thank you. I appreciate that compliment.
But we've had people who are remote viewers call us and say, you need to go down and check the stage, or you need to go up and look up on the hill. And sure enough, we get up there and what they remote viewed had happened, which I can't do anything but just write it down on a piece of paper and take some pictures. But I think last summer we got some awesome, awesome video and in the middle of the night, and we turned it all over to be researched, and they checked it frame by frame, and the researchers are going, it is 100% unexplained. I cannot figure this out, but we have on our security cameras, you see three dots start appearing in the sky. And it takes about 5 or 6 minutes, and the dots are getting brighter, but they always stay in proportionate to each other. And then you can see, clear as a bell, anyone who's a skeptic will no longer be a skeptic when you see the video, because this thing is at least 250 or 300 feet across, and it's the largest triangular craft ever. And it just, you could see it just appearing in the sky, goes down right in front of the stage, clears the trees, and goes into the horizon.
The thing about that, this is featured in a documentary, and that's available on YouTube.
Right, yeah. When I first watched the video, I'm sitting there going, play that back. Yeah, we had to play it back about 20 times because still your brain is not clicking, but there is no way anything is 300 feet across floating across the sky at board camp with lights in the corners.
Now, I've seen the video. It is pretty extraordinary.
And to me, it was the smoking gun. It, like I said, it happened right over our heads, and I'm still trying to get a handle on it.
Well, I think the tough part is when people use the language and say, okay, here's Sasquatch activity and UFO activity. Those are the words we have right now. There's more to this label, UFO, that somehow it's all getting lumped in one category. And it isn't one, it's multiples. And the orbs, UFO, that doesn't make any sense but that's all we have to refer to it. So when you're watching that and trying to figure out what's the difference between an orb and a UFO, and yet there are three glowing dots and they could be called orbs, but they're part of something larger, I think you're in the perfect spot to continue to connect the dots, literally.
Well, you know, I looked UFO researchers. And I went and looked at a bunch because I'm trying to educate myself, but I don't want to have someone trying to brainwash me. I want to find out on my own.
Yeah.
And so I looked up UFO researchers. Then I looked up Bigfoot researchers. And what I found was this. It's the direction you're looking. UFO researchers are always looking up. Bigfoot researchers are looking out. That's about the only two. But if you look at the research, you look at everything, it's all the same. They're both chasing and doing the same things. They're just looking different directions.
There's one thing on the property that I find incredibly fascinating, and you call it the nursery. That's a grid. Have you noticed anything different and unique about that space?
Well, one, we don't go there. We'll walk to the outside of it, but we don't trespass on the land. It's about 2.5 acres, and it's on the edge of the property. But the natives say that it's beyond sacred. It's land that we should not touch, we should not walk on. From a distance, you can look in, and there were times where, you know how a woodpecker will make holes in a circle around a tree?
Yeah.
We've seen that at about 4 feet up, and each hole has a feather in it. Well, one, a woodpecker is not going to make a hole that low and then put feathers in them.
When you took me for the tour in that area, I had the mind speak of walk, and what it told me was to tread lightly. And so I tried to follow your footsteps so that I didn't step in anywhere I wasn't supposed to off path. And at the end, I got the mind speak, now pick up a stone or pick up a rock. And I let it tell me that 3 times before I picked anything up and finally, because I thought, I don't want to take anything. I don't want to disrupt or be disrespectful, but it was telling me to do this. So I did. And when I picked it up, it was just a regular rock. I turned it over and it was beautiful. It had the tiny crystals. It was, you know, like about an inch and a half, a small rock. And it was mind blowing to me that when I finally picked up the rock and turned it over, it has a unique shape, kind of like a foot. And so here it is with the crystals on the bottom. And it was a gift. It was thanking me for respecting and following the instruction I was given. So I think it tests people when you're there to see what your intentions are. And I was trying to be respectful. And that gift was a response that acknowledged that there was a connection. And I think that's what happens when you have an open mind in play. Cause I had no idea that we were going to encounter Bigfoot when I visited. And so I really thank you for opening me to that experience because I've had them since. And it's a wonderful connection.
Yeah, we had a guy digging in the mine years ago talking about being tested. So he's digging in an area no one's dug in before. He goes down about a foot deep, and he finds a ring. And the ring was like a platinum or something ring, and it had a special type of wood around the outside that was from like Hawaii or something. We looked it up online. It's like $1,000 ring. There was no way anybody buried it there. It was in virgin soil a foot deep.
That looked brand new.
And it looked brand new. Didn't have a mark on it. Well, what he did is he came all the way in when he checked out and he goes, here, I found this ring. You know, he could have put it in his pocket. I think that he was being tested and he might have had something big going on in his life. I didn't ask for background. I think they were preparing him for something.
I don't think there's an accident with these kinds of events that you have and that people experience when they go there. And I do believe that that is sacred space. It is a very unique space. And people who visit you, I believe they're called, whether they know it or not, that you're ready to have an experience that may challenge your beliefs.
BoardCampCrystalMind.com. A quick break. Every experience at Board Camp Crystal Mine is unique. Some are beyond explaining.
We had a mother and daughter out here a few years ago, and the daughter was like 21 or 22, and she's wearing a brooch, and her boyfriend got killed on his motorcycle. He had given her the brooch. So the mother is taking the daughter on vacation and kind of helping her adjust, right? She's taking pictures of her up on the hill during the tour, and they were going to go crystal digging the next day. And she took a picture of her, and that little stone that was in the brooch had fallen out. somewhere in the forest, that little tiny, about the size of a lima bean, gone, and it's brown. And we looked around, and we could, there's no way we're going to find it. We've covered too much ground. So we're sitting on the stage. She's crying, all upset. They ended up leaving early because she was not having a good time. But they did come back the next day to go crystal digging. And Cheryl gave them the yellow buckets. And they went out crystal digging. She did not have a good time crystal digging. She put a few stuff in her bucket. No big deal. Came back and was emptying out her bucket. And that stone from the brooch was in the bottom of the bucket.
Yep.
And they were 1,000 feet away from where she lost it.
That's,
I mean, the
yeah.
look on her eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We were all shocked.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We don't understand it. And that's that magic that I think happens in that space where you are.
And the entities, if we can call it that, the intelligent life forms that have been connecting with us, that kind of experience proves beyond a shadow of a doubt to me and Orville that these are kind and loving. They're not evil. And I know people have reported some pretty scary experiences, you know, especially with Bigfoot throwing rocks at them or whatever, you know, or threatening, but we have never felt threatened. And we're so blessed by that. Whatever we're dealing with here, the unknown, the unseen, the intelligent life, whatever they are, ETs, Bigfoot, who knows? We don't know, you know, but they're like angels.
Have you actually seen, I mean, the eye shine, I know you've had experiences with that, but have you seen anything that resembles the Sasquatch?
My very first one that I saw, I was with a group of natives and they were chanting and we were walking along. They're going, just follow us. So the spiritual leaders are out in the front. There's about 30 of us in the back and they're going, just do what we do. So we get up near this big ravine and everybody stops at one time. There was nobody go, okay, stop and turn. No, everybody just stopped and bowed their heads and kept chanting. And I'm like, okay. So I put my head down and they're waving me to come forward. So I get up near the front of the group and we saw a 12 footer come out of the ravine. And this is in the evening, not even dark yet. Sun's still in the sky, but near the trees. And we had a 12-footer come out. And you can see on his face, you could see he was old. He had some gray. But he came up out of that ravine like he was coming up an elevator. Just no effort. And that's a steep, steep ravine. And, of course, everybody's still chanting. My feet are going 100 miles an hour, and I'm not moving. I'm pointing, going, and they're like, shh, it's cool. And then he just, I saw him turn. He turned his head just a little bit, and then his shoulders, and then he was gone. I didn't see him run away or anything. I just, not there anymore. That was it. And, you know, I'm going, did you see that? And they're all going, dude. yeah, you think? That's why we came up here. So,
Orville, I just get the kid in the candy store. You know, here you are. You've been, you know, allowed to see what you are actually the guardian for in that space. And so you were gifted with, yes, here, this is who is here. And because of them giving you that bridge to be able to be part of it, to just understand that this is real.
Yeah, and the thing is, why we got picked, I don't know. I mean, I was in the Army. I belonged to the VFW, overseas. I was a hazard mitigation technical specialist for Homeland Security. None of this is in the government handbook. And that's all I ever knew. So when you're seeing all this and you're trying to make sense of it in our reality or in our time, then it's confusing. But if you just sit and just let things happen and focus on the moment, then you understand more.
Well, and Cheryl, the same thing. I mean, you have that open, non-judgmental. I know you help animals with, you know, work with animals in the humane, I think with one of the local humane society. So yeah. There's that generosity, that kindness that I believe is drawing others to you.
That could be. Thank you for saying that. And I'd like to throw this angle in too. I was raised in church, a Christian church. I and Orville are Christian believers. We believe in the Bible, Jesus, the whole bit, and that God created stuff. So if this is a fact, I mean, the Bible, I'm reading it with new enlightenment. Like, it talks about the seen and the unseen world, or the invisible and visible worlds. It's like, how'd they know that back then, 3,000 years ago? Plus, various descriptions of experiences or even creatures that apparently those people, those ancient people saw, and not only the Bible, but other ancient writings. You know, they describe experiences or creatures, and they're doing the best they can to describe their experience or what they saw with the limited language, you know,
yeah,
that they have. It's kind of like Orville walking into the light. All he could say was, it looked like fluorescent spaghetti.
I know. Yeah.
and it's like, okay, well, that's the only way he can use to describe that. And if he writes it down in a book and it's read 3,000 years from now, you know, how are the people going to interpret that?
Yeah. Will spaghetti like, still what? Be here? Yes. Yes. What we'll be eating.
Or fluorescent. Yeah. What's fluorescent? Never heard of that. You know, but so I do believe there is a supreme being that created everything. And if he created all these interesting life forms in our third dimension that we live and walk in, why couldn't he create other life forms in other dimensions that they're able to interact with us?
Yeah.
We're very limited in our third dimension, obviously. But I've been listening to, for example, astrophysicists such as Dr. Hugh Ross and Dr. John Lennox, who are both Christian believers. And they studied physics, and through studying physics, they started connecting that with the Bible. Like, wait a minute. There's some interesting things here in the Bible that actually is scientific, if you look at it that way. So many people close themselves off to, quote, religion or spirituality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always say, well, and religion is man-made. It's, you know, systems have developed out of that. But faith is personal.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, however you believe, that's a personal experience for you. And now that we're interacting as well with what we probably could only describe as the spiritual world or other dimensions, I mean, it's so, this whole experience is so fascinating, and we certainly enjoy sharing it, and we love to hear other people's experiences, and no matter what walk of life they come from, you know, as long as it's good, you know, it's good stuff.
Well, so, the two of you seeing all of these people, like you talked about the woman who lost her husband and was really distraught, and then having that, what would seem like a tragedy again with losing something very, very special, and then finding it, I think that's textbook of what this kind of anomaly is capable of, showing you there's more to reality than we are able to see or witness. And that, I thought that was a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we own the land, and we know we do because the tax guy sends us a notice every year reminding us.
Yeah.
But in reality, we're basically just the caretakers. Crazy Horse said, treat the earth well. It was not given to you by your parents. It was only loaned to you by your children. And that's what we try to live by, is try not to do anything that's going to destroy it or, you know, mess it up for the next generation.
So this is going on, you know, 24/7 all year long. You have the available tours. They're seasonal. So you're kind of in between. You'll be closing up shop here pretty quick.
We're old, yes.
We're open end of February, if it's not snowing and freezing, to the end of October every year, yes.
Okay, okay, I like that, we're old. Okay, now that wasn't where I was going, Orville.
Well, that's where we're at.
Okay, well, so Debbie is there, okay? Yeah, Debbie's your daughter?
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. It won't be discarded and left to ruin. It will still be maintained.
Right.
Yes. And we've already had a few of our other kids and grandkids who have visited and experienced the unexplained. And we're overjoyed because, you know, we don't know what the future holds, but now that they and Debbie, of course, have come and experienced things, maybe this will responsibly be passed on to the next generation. That's our hope, for sure, you know, and I think it's going to happen.
I think that's the purpose. I mean, there's a window open there, and it allows people to come in and make up their mind. There's a quote that Orville, yep, on one of the previous shows that we did, I loved it because I thought it really, it says a lot. It says, and this is Orville, these are Orville's words, "I think the paranormal is not a cookie cutter. It's not cut and dried. You see what you need to see, and it's a personal experience between you and them." And I thought that was so brilliant.
Yes, that's very true. I have to agree.
So Orville, I hope people pass that on because you don't take credit for anything, but you are such a guidepost in keeping that curiosity of, well, what's here and what's there. And I hope your next foray into the white light will be just as interesting, and you'll still come back. All right.
Yeah. And I hope one day that this turns into like a sanctuary to where people can just come out in the daytime, just sit and meditate and just pick up that natural energy and bring barbecue. Yeah. Bring barbecue, something to eat. That'd be great.
You know, obviously we're a business. There's the business angle of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have to pay your sales tax and all that stuff. So we have those responsibilities. But yet, like Orville said, you know, we want this to be a sanctuary where people can come and it's not all business. You know, we have to do the business thing to run it, but we don't have to as far as the experience, you know. That's personal and we share that and it's a beautiful thing.
Will there be an opportunity the next time they do a group meditation for other people to join in? Or is this something that is a private event?
No, there will be. I've already talked to them about that, and they're talking about, well, we could start 2 months in advance and start promoting it, because right now it was kind of a closed-door session.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, it was sort of like a CE5, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was definitely human-initiated contact.
And some things are spontaneous also. You can't necessarily plan.
Right.
You know, you can try.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with planning. But, so some things are spontaneous as well.
I think there might be an interest in that for the group participation,
yeah,
to be able to be part of this. And it doesn't mean something, you know, the CEVI, it doesn't mean that's going to happen, but it means the people who are oriented in that way and interested and positive might bring a newer and more energy to the equation, which then uplifts and amplifies all of that as well.
Yes, good point.
And we have hundreds of videos that it would take you months to sit there and watch all the videos and stuff that we've caught. And it's like we still probably have hours and hours, days and days of videos we haven't even gone through yet.
You also have the documentaries that you are part of, and that is there another one upcoming that will feature you and your information about the portal?
Yes, we're working on that now, and we're hoping that they'll get it done pretty soon, and it's going to be just focused on the portal December 7th, and that's going to be the main crux of the video.
Of the new one, okay. Now, does MUFON still come out there on occasion?
No, I'm sure if we called them up, they would. I mean, we were on the MUFON cover October 2017. We made the cover, but if we were to call them, I'm sure that they would come out. But, and we have some people from MUFON who come out on their own.
Yeah.
There's another place, the Montana Vortex, that they also have the Sasquatch activity and the paranormal activity and the unexplained events that accompany that. And it seems that your area with this vortex portal is a really similar geographically or something about it that allows this to be a hotspot, you know, paranormal hotspot, Sasquatch hotspot, however mm-hmm. you want to call it. But it seems like, yeah. you know, that, so when people hear about those other places, have you had a chance to visit any other spot that's like where you're, what you have?
No, I work a lot around here. We get busy and it's difficult to take trips.
I can imagine. Yeah. I was curious because, and it doesn't, you don't have to go anywhere to experience what you guys are encountering, but I just wondered if there was a, when you said that this was the first time anything paranormal happened, it had to have changed you in a lot of ways, your beliefs.
Oh yeah. But again, we're still the same. We moved from Northern California to here. We lived at the base of Mount Shasta, Crystal Central up there.
Yes.
And Bigfoot Central. And we never once thought about it. But were we there being groomed to be here and not know it?
I had no idea. That's fascinating. Yeah, because that area is incredibly active and very well known for Sasquatch and the crystals, the whole nine yards.
Right. And we basically moved here to get away from those people. So, and but were we actually being groomed and taught there to prepare us for what was going to happen here? Of course, I'm speculating. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get a certificate, but...
No, but well, you landed smack dab in the middle.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, once we first saw the beams and MUFON and, you know, the Expedition Unknown, and then, you know, it really hit us like we have a grave responsibility here. You know, this is going to be shared publicly, and what do we do with it? And Marvel and I'm not bragging or nothing, but we tend to be the caregivers of our family. You know, we've cared for my parents for a few years, almost 20 actually, and, you know, stuff like that. But I'm just saying that, you know, we've always tended to be responsible individuals, and we look at this as a grave responsibility to kind of package it. And like I said, we have a business, you know, the business angle of it. But, you know, to package all of this and present it to the public, whoever wants to share in this, it's a grave responsibility, but it's a great honor for us as well, for sure.
Quickly, there's little tiny things like stray cats show up here a lot. And, of course, we trap them, and then we get them fixed, make sure they get their shots, and then we just cut them loose. And they hang out here. A lot of times we'll go up on the tour. These cats will follow us deep into the woods. You know, cats are something special in the paranormal because you're out there walking through the woods with a couple of cats, and all of a sudden both cats will stop and turn their heads at the same time, or they won't go any further. They're giving us messages, and I've been able to follow a lot of messages from stray cats.
Yeah, the animals do act differently. There's one, the Montana Vortex, I think that they were saying that the horses, there's a certain spot that the horses, they will shy away and cross it and then come back, shy away at the same spot. But there's definitely, they have that sensitivity of, okay, there's something else here that we're not privy to.
We have a doe, a deer. She lives in the garden area in the front yard. She shows up. She has her babies every year. You see her walking around the lawn. She'll walk around the house. And every once in a while, she'll come out with her fawns. And she won't let us go up and touch her, but we respect her, give her her space. But she lives in front of the house.
Yeah, it's a safe space for her. She knows it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you've got two books. I think with all of this, this takes it to a new level for the next book, Cheryl.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And not only that, but we have so much documented, and
I did. I was able to publish the first two books, which are the beginning of our story. And my intent is to keep writing. So I've got to. It's not easy to sit down and write a book, I have to say.
I know you're busy. But at the same time, there's so much ammo. You've got a ton of stuff.
Yeah, it's part of the responsibility. Like I said, the intent is to publish our experience so that it is a published work for the future, for whoever is interested, for whatever reason. But it is part of the responsibility, and I've got to get going and write the next book or books.
Well, and the thing with Orville and Jason, the fact they both had the hypnotic regression sessions, to be able to use that, include that, and along with Orville's conscious memory, his conscious recollection and how he integrated it with what that experience that he talks about. That's a really nice comparison.
Yes, definitely.
We had a tour the other night. We went up the hill, and that's the only time I go up there is when we're going to have a tour. The area where this happened on December 7th, still there's no leaves on the ground. There's leaves all over the place on the ground, except there's one spot, no leaves.
Yeah, and you've had the electromagnetic energy tested there. Because I've seen the results of the things that are discombobulated after something happens.
And the thing is, because of the magnetic field up there, scientists cannot come up and use their fancy equipment because it messes with all the electronics. So we go old school. So I went down to the Walmart and I bought one of those $3 wall clocks. You know, if you take one of those and you put a magnet in front of it, it'll stop. Move the magnet, it'll start again. So I have it sitting up on the hill inside of a plastic container. And all I have to do is go up and see how much time was lost on the clock. And I can tell when the magnetic field was over 8 Gauss.
Wow.
8 Gauss will stop the clock.
Okay. Yeah. Old school.
So we did. It's simple, you know, and it's very accurate.
Yeah.
I don't know when it happened, but I know how long it happened for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, that's what you're learning. You're learning how to work around the blocks or work around the challenges.
We set up a recording device on the hill. The scientists were up here. And it says it has 8 hours of battery. The battery went dead in like 10 minutes. So I went down to the store and I bought a big old spool of 200-pound fishing line and 2 milking buckets. Remember how you played telephone as a kid?
Yeah.
I used 2 milking buckets and 200-pound fishing line. And that's what we're using as a radio, and have that sitting at the stage. So we could set the recording device in the bucket and we could hear what's going on the hill.
Wow.
Without the batteries going dead.
Yeah. See, that's what's creative. And I think that's why you're there, because the background that you listed before gave you an education that other people who aren't familiar with that wouldn't have a clue.
And most of the time I don't have a clue, but sometimes something will pop into my head, or I'll dream about it, or, you know, and I thought, milking buckets and a piece of string. Okay, that'll work.
MacGyver. It's jack of all trades.
There you go. I actually do call Orville MacGyver because he is that type of person.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got that down pat. I'm looking forward to hearing more and seeing the next phase of this, because it continues to happen and people who visit you have their own stories to share too. And so that's another, you know, another element of this that it's just fascinating. And I'm so glad that you are there, because you're able to participate without trying to call the shots and make it something. It's just allowing it and saying what's going to happen next, I think, is extraordinary.
And we're waiting for you to come back.
I don't want to expect anything. I don't want to put anything on it, but it's a place that I really feel comfortable. And I really, you know, there's this, I've had this experience since then of the mind speak and those kinds of things. I was out this weekend, Lake of the Ozarks. Okay. And the Ozarks for me is also, it has that Sasquatch element, and walking along and hearing the thing of, you know, telling me that our minds are so busy, they're so cluttered. How can we tell who's talking, as in, you know, hearing other people's thoughts? And what it said was, in order to have these experiences, this was the message. It said, open mind. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Quiet mind and open heart. And I thought, that wasn't, it wasn't mine. It was just that beautiful. And I thought, I need to write that down to save it, because it was the message. And I think that's the way they connect with us, is giving us those kinds of insights. And then, you know, we take them for what it's worth. But for me, it was that quiet mind, open heart. And that's how you walk in beauty. And that's a lot of the times that I think that's a Cherokee beauty walk, a Cherokee phrase. And the beauty is nature. It's nature, not disturbing it, but becoming part of it and in enjoying it, which is what you guys do. So, yeah, I am interested in coming again.
Good.
So, Andy and I need to make a trip. For right now, though, we'll share your message, and your books are out there. I'm looking forward to the next installment and the tours. Yeah, the tours start again in February.
Yes, and they still run till October 26th will be our last day this year.
Okay, all right.
And when we do the tours, we limit it to only 12 people. I don't want like 100 people here interfering with everything. If you keep it small, you keep it simple, then everybody has a chance to experience. Plus smaller groups, you know, everybody knows one another, and, you know, it's easy to work together as a single unit.
Oh, I agree. There are other people who do that type of tours, and they say you get better results with a smaller group.
Yeah.
And plus, if you lose somebody, you know they're gone.
Right.
Oh, no, an abduction.
Yeah. So that also helps. Okay.
All right.
Hey, thank you.
We just want to say thank you, and I want to thank you for respecting us too, because we've done some shows where, you know, someone's trying to make you look like a fool or an idiot, you know, and it's like, you know, they're thinking like, oh, the big negative thing is what sells. And with us, we don't try to sell anything.
You're not there for the tire kickers. And I want people to understand that what you're doing is legit, and you have this wonderful heart. And I do believe you guys, you demonstrate that. The thing that Sasquatch gave me, which was the quiet mind, open heart. You guys are doing that. So, you know, that's why the Native Americans are connecting to you and saying, here, let me show you what you're basically guarding. You're right place, right time. I forgot about you saying you were from the Mount Shasta area. Of course. Jeez.
Another crazyism.
Yeah. And you thought you were escaping. No. You were ready to go right into the heart. They already had you prepared. You had no clue.
Out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Yeah.
Orville and Cheryl Murphy. There is a new documentary featuring the information about the portal coming up. I'll post a link when I get that. Website, boardcampcrystalmine.com. Links are in the description for the show. Thanks for listening.